good morning, everybody. My name is Ken Wetzel, and I work at the U.S. Embassy in Zagreb. I'm the Assistant Public Affairs Officer. I've been in Zagreb for almost 3 years now, and really enjoyed living and working in Croatia. I've gotten to see quite a bit of the country. I've been to most of the major cities in the country, and mainly going out and talking to student groups, which is one of my favorite things to do. I think it's one of the most important and valuable things we do in the embassy. So I'm very, very pleased to be happy today, to be here today. And I'd like to thank the public library for organizing this event, and your school also for bringing you to see the lecture. I'd like to talk to you a bit today about Barack Obama. I know you've probably seen quite a bit about him in the news, but his life is really very interesting. He's had a very diverse background, and I think he represents America very well, because his background is extremely diverse, and I think it shows the vitality of the American dream, and that is still alive in the United States. This first slide shows Barack Obama with his mother. You can see his mother is white. She was born in Kansas and grew up in Kansas. And his father, next slide please. And his father is from Kenya. His father grew up in a poor part of Kenya, and sort of similar to Barack in some ways, because he was a very good student and worked very hard and made the best of his opportunities. So Barack's father, like I said, grew up in Kenya. His family had herded goats, had worked as a servant for a British business person living in Kenya. But his father was very very hardworking and wanted to do something more important with his life. So he was able to win a scholarship to study in Hawaii. And Barack's father came from Kenya to Hawaii, and that's where he met Barack's mother. But Barack didn't really get to know his father very well, because when Barack was 1 year old, his father went back to Kenya. His father also later studied at Harvard to get his PhD. But Barack grew up, didn't really know his father. So he was raised by a white woman in Hawaii, which is mainly white. There's not a large African-American community there. And this was when Barack was 10. His father came back from Kenya for a visit to see him. So Barack, at this point, was really sort of meeting his father for the first time, because he hadn't seen him since he was a baby. Next slide. Barack's mother then got remarried to a man she met who was from Indonesia. And they then moved to Indonesia. So when Barack was in, Barack spent a lot of time in Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia. As you know, Indonesia is a majority Muslim country. And Barack went to an Indonesian school. So he got to see a lot of different parts of the world as a very young person. And he saw the Muslim culture there. And he also saw a lot of poverty in Indonesia. He was very much affected by this, and he wanted to do something to help people when he saw how people were living in Indonesia. Next slide. After his mother later came back to Hawaii, and Barack went to high school in Hawaii. You see here, he was the only, one of the few African Americans in his high school. So here he was. Think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. He grew up with one white parent, one black parent. Spent a lot of time in Asia, where he was in a 99% Asian school. Then he comes back to Hawaii, and he goes to high school there. So he's really exposed to a lot of different ways of thinking as a young person. And during this part of his life, I read a couple of books that he had written. He's written two books. And at this part of his life, he was really trying to figure out who he was. This was a part of his youth where he was trying to understand himself and understand his own identity. Next slide, please. This is Barack Obama with his grandparents when he graduated from high school in 1979. slide. After he finished high school, he went to California for 1 year of college to a college called Occidental College. And he did very well there. And he did so well that he decided to apply to Columbia University. Columbia University is known as an Ivy League school. It's the Ivy League school that is in New York City. And it's one of the best universities in the United States, if not one of the best universities in the world. And Brock felt very much at home in New York City, too, because, as you know, people from all over the world live in New York. You see people from every country in the world. You hear all these different languages being spoken. There are all these different restaurants, people wearing different kinds of clothing. So New York is a very cosmopolitan, very diverse place. And Brock felt very much at home there because he saw that he really wasn't so different from everybody else. And he also did very well at Columbia University. He responded very well to being in a classroom with all of these top students. And he really grew and prospered when he was at Columbia. Next slide. After he went to Columbia, he went to work for a while in Chicago. He wanted to work with helping people. So he went to work in Chicago, in an area where they have a lot of public housing, and it's you have these high-rise buildings where a lot of poor people, mainly African Americans, live. And he worked with them, trying to help them get access to education, trying to help them find jobs, helping them with their legal problems, basically helping them get access to education and to employment and trying to improve the quality of their lives. And he tried to get them to organize, to write letters to politicians, to be sure that everybody was registered to vote. He wanted them to be politically active and to be full participants in the democracy. You can't really fight for your rights if you don't vote, if you don't engage your politicians, if you're not organized. And while he was doing that, he saw how important the law was, because democracy is based on the law, and certainly the business world is based on the rule of law. And he saw that if he really wanted to help people, he should become a lawyer, because that's where he could have the most effect. So he went to law school, and he went to Harvard Law School. I'm sure you've heard of Harvard. It's probably the most famous college in the United States. And he did very, very well at Harvard. He was the president of the Law Review, which is the highest honor in the law school. So that's when he really became known. This picture shows him teaching constitutional law at the University of Chicago. When he finished at Harvard, he came back to Chicago, where he had worked with people as a community organizer to teach constitutional law. And this helped him with politics later, because knowing how the Constitution works, knowing all the ins and outs of it, are very important for people who want to work in the Congress. And it's very important for him now as president to understand how that all works. Next slide. When he was at Harvard, I told you he was made president of the Law Review, so he was the top student at Harvard Law School. And this was when he really started to become known. He started to become famous. People said, who is this guy? He's got a Kenyan father. He lived in Hawaii. He lived in Indonesia. And now he's the best student in our best law school. And people became interested in him. And he decided to write a book. And it's called Dreams from My Father. It's a very interesting book. A lot of it, like I said, he didn't really... oh, there it is. Yeah, right here. Yeah. A lot of pictures. He grew up basically not knowing his father. So after when he got established and had some time and the opportunity, he went back to Africa and he spent 6 weeks in Kenya, and he went to his village and he met his cousins and his uncles and his grandparents, and it really affected him a lot. So when he came back, he wrote this book, Dreams from My Father, where he talks about how he grew up, all of his experiences. Then he also talks about Kenya, because until he went to Kenya and saw the poor village that he was from, he didn't really understand his father. He didn't really understand what Africa was like. And he also understood better African-Americans, Americans who had come to the United States as slaves. He didn't really understand their situation so well until he actually went back to Africa. So it was a really important book for him. And it was on the bestseller list.
Okay.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'll go on. So like I said, he came back to Chicago and he taught constitutional law. And that was where he, when he was there, he met his wife, Michelle Obama. And she's from a very similar background. She grew up in sort of a middle-class black family. But she was also the first person to really make a big jump. And she went to Princeton and she went to Harvard as well, I believe. So she's very well educated and went to the very top schools in the United States. So they shared that in common. And that was something that was a great strength to Barack Obama, was meeting Michelle. She really helped him with his career, really was his partner, really was his top advisor. And from there, Barack Obama decided that he wanted to do more. He ran for the Congress, so our lower house, where you're a local representative. And he did very well and was reelected. And then at a very young age, he decided to run for the Senate. And when he ran for the Senate the first time he lost. And this was only, I believe this was only about 10 years ago that he lost. So he was actually thinking about leaving politics, wasn't sure if it was right for him, but he didn't give up. And he came back and he ran for the Senate again. And was reelected, at the Democratic National Convention that year, he was chosen as the keynote speaker. Barack Obama is a Democrat, and this is their very most important meeting, actually where they choose the person who's going to run for president. And the president, he was chosen to speak as the keynote speaker at this convention. And as you've probably seen, he's a really impressive speaker, very powerful speaker. Not nearly as boring as I am. And when he got to be on national television, and he talked about his childhood, and he talked about his father and his mother, and how he grew up, and he talked about what he wanted to do as a politician, people really took notice of him, and that was the first time I heard of him, was when he gave this speech. It really was an amazing speech, one of the great speeches of American political history. So he ran for the Senate again, and this time, like I said, he won. And then he'd only been a senator for one term when he decided to run for president. And a lot of people said, well, you're too young, you don't have enough experience. They also said, well, America's not ready for a black president. You're not going to be elected. People were concerned about his safety, and they were concerned that certain people wouldn't vote for him. They wouldn't be able to be elected. Plus, at that point, who was running against him at that point, do you remember? Well, who else wanted to be president from the Democrats? Hillary Clinton, right. And a lot of people in the Democratic Party supported Hillary Clinton as well. So they had a very tight campaign. They had a very, very, where they fought very hard to try to win the nomination. Ultimately, Barack had a very good organization, very good campaign. He got a lot of young people involved in his campaign. He used the internet very well to organize people. and he ended up winning the nomination. But I thought it was really, really impressive that he invited Hillary to become his Secretary of State, because that's a very visible position where the Secretary of State gives a lot of speeches, does a lot of travel, has a very visible, very prominent position in the organization. But Barack Obama, I think, was very mature and very wise. And he said that, I want you to help me. Even though we were rivals, even though we fought against each other, even though you know, we had very tough debates where we said you know, where we debated very strongly against one another, I want you to be my Secretary of State. And I thought that was very politically mature thing to do, because he wasn't afraid of her being on the stage with him. He wanted her expertise, he wanted her wisdom, he wanted her to help him. And he was strong enough in his own abilities and confident enough to invite her to be a part of his cabinet. So he's been president for basically a year now. He's had a lot of very difficult challenges with the war in Iraq and with the war in Afghanistan. He recently passed the health care bill in the United States, and this is probably the most important legislation that's been passed in the United States since the 1960s. And it was a very difficult thing to get done. A lot of people didn't want to change our health care system and were afraid of the costs. But it really is an impressive program, because it expands medical coverage to a lot more people in the United States, especially people from the poor elements of society. Okay, so go back to these. Like I mentioned, go back a couple more maybe, or?
Back.
Is this the last one I'd seen? Okay.
Oh, no, this was the last one
I
commented on.
Okay.
This. Yeah, this was the last one.
Okay, this is the last one, yeah. This is showing him, like I mentioned, he was elected to the state Senate early on. Okay, next slide. And I mentioned that he had lost, he ran for Congress in 2000 after having been a state senator. And this is important too, because this was only 10 years ago that he lost an election for the Senate. 8 years later, he became president. So it shows you that you shouldn't give up. He was still a very young man at this point, and had a very bright future. So it really shows you that everybody suffers defeats in their life, in their lives, and that you shouldn't give up too early, because he could have very easily quit when he lost the Senate. Next slide. This is the speech that I mentioned that he gave at the Democratic National Convention in 2004. Does anybody know who that is? I guess you can read the slide, right? It's Joe Biden. And this is the U.S. Capitol building. This is where the House of Representatives and the Senate is, and that's the U.S. Capitol. This is showing him working in the Senate with Joe Biden, who is the chairperson of the Senate committee. And as you know, Beau Biden later became vice president. Next slide. This is showing him going back to Kenya again. This is his grandmother in Kenya. I talked about the first book that he had written, Dreams for My Father. 2006, he wrote another book called Audacity of Hope. And this one was not so much about his background or his upbringing. This was more about his ideas on politics, on American society, on what politicians should do to make America safer and more prosperous as a country. This was also a top-selling book. Next slide. This is where, like I said, he worked in Illinois, and this is where he announced his candidacy for president. This was in Springfield, Illinois, which is where Abraham Lincoln is from. Have you studied Abraham Lincoln in your history at all? Well, Abraham Lincoln was a very tall president with the top hat and the beard. Maybe you've seen pictures of him. He was president during our Civil War, and he was the president that freed the slaves. And many consider Abraham Lincoln to have been one of the greatest, if not our greatest, president, because he kept our country together during a very terrible, bloody Civil War, and because he freed the slaves. And Barack Obama felt a lot of kinship to Abraham Lincoln, number one, because he freed the slaves, number two, because they're from Illinois. They both had their political careers in Illinois. And also, I mentioned that they were both very powerful speakers. Abraham Lincoln was probably one of the greatest public orators, speakers in U.S. history. And also, Barack Obama had also studied Lincoln's career. I mentioned about how Barack Obama chose Hillary Clinton to be in his cabinet, even though they had been rivals. Well, Abraham Lincoln had done the same thing. Abraham Lincoln was from the frontier. He was from the country. He was not very well educated. He only went to school for a couple of years. And when he ran for president, he ran against some very well-educated, very prominent people. And when he became president, he had the confidence, he wasn't afraid, he invited those people to be in his cabinet. So that was something that Obama learned from Lincoln, is that you want to bring your rivals onto your team to work for you. A lot of people think that they should exclude their rivals. But I think the wise politician knows how to bring everybody together to work for a common goal. Next slide. This is Barack Obama in North Carolina. One of the interesting things about Barack Obama's election is that it wasn't just people, African Americans, who voted for him. I mean, that wouldn't be possible because African Americans are a minority of our population. And it wasn't just people from certain places like New York or California that voted for him. People from all over the United States voted for Barack Obama, including in North Carolina. So I think it really was a good thing for our country. He brought the whole country together. People from all over voted for him. Next slide. It's a photo from him at the convention in 2008 when he was selected to be the Democratic nominee for president, candidate for president. Next slide. This is showing him after he was elected president. And then I showed you Joe Biden before. Joe Biden's from Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from originally. And I like this photo. This is at his old school in Indonesia. When he became president, they're celebrating the fact that he was elected. So I think that's really a fun photo. Next slide. This is him taking the oath of office, saying that he will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he's swearing on a Bible there, and that's a Bible that belonged to Abraham Lincoln that I mentioned before. So he really does have a lot of connections with Abraham Lincoln. Next slide. This final slide, this just shows the Obama family. You see he has two daughters at a parade in Montana.
That's it.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed the lecture. And I'm now happy to answer any questions you have about what I spoke about or about the embassy or anything else you're interested in about the United States.